What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 31 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and you happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps this podcast keep on going. With me this morning, as every Friday morning, or almost every Friday morning, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's up, Bob? What's up, everyone?
You don't sound happy.
I'm just tired.
Tired.
Yeah.
Just wake up.
Yeah.
We should get we should get an energy drink sponsor for the podcast.
We should
chug whatever it is. Like, just crush it and then you.
So we can just be right on, ready to go.
Yeah, all like super awake every morning. Just, yeah.
Yeah, my bad. No, I for once was up playing video games all night. So
I actually played some video games last night too.
You did? That's amazing.
Look at us,
we're gamers.
I streamed it on Twitch.
Really?
Yes.
What'd you play?
Unreal Tournament pre-alpha.
Ah.
Which is a lot of fun.
How'd you do?
I did pretty good. I was trying to get the streaming working because like I've only streamed on Twitch a couple times.
Yeah.
And back when I first did it, I used XSplit, and now there's this new thing called Open. It's like an open source broadcaster.
Okay.
And I have it all set up so you can like see. I guess I bought a new webcam too.
Oh, nice.
So you can see me and you can see me playing the game. And I was just like testing that out, and first time doing it, because I figured I'll be doing some streaming over the next couple of months. So.
Nice.
Yes, so we'll be doing that.
Making a little tech purchase. What webcam did you get?
The Logitech C920, which is like the, I guess.
Is it 1080p one?
Yeah, it was on sale on gotcha. Talking about Amazon, it was on sale on Amazon for half off.
Oh, nice.
Like last week, and I was like, well, I'm definitely just going to get it.
Yeah, so, that's the time to do it.
Yes. So, but yeah, if anybody wants to follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, that's what we will be streaming. And there's a lot of games coming out soon that we'll probably be streaming, so it'll be kind of fun. Probably evenings most of the time.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get on there for a couple hours and play, and we'll definitely let you know the servers that we're playing on and what games we're playing, so you can come in and join all of us. And I guess we'll give you our Steam names, and for Unreal our what do they call that, like our Epic Games name,
yeah,
or whatever. Epic. You know, we'll have all of that stuff. Yeah, we'll have our Origin IDs, we'll have all that stuff. We'll put up a page or something on the site with all that information.
So you can come and destroy us.
Yeah,
so you maybe can get destroyed on our webcam.
Yeah, so you can, come play with us. But let's jump right into reviews that we had this week. We had two reviews, two really cool products. We'll start out with some memory. I took a look at the Kingston HyperX Fury DDR2666 16GB memory kit. So, you know, with Z170 chipset coming out, we have dual-channel DDR4 now, so we'll see a lot of these kits come out. Typically, this memory came in quad-channel kits for X99. Now we're seeing a lot of dual-channel kits. So this is Kingston's Fury line. Very nice. Good memory, overclocks well. It's available in 8GB and 16GB dual-channel kits. I forget the top speed. I think 3,000 megahertz is the top speed, but I got it to overclock up to that no problem anyways.
You go past that?
No, it was quite difficult to get past that without really loosening the timings, which I didn't want to do,
which is a pretty big trade-off anyways.
Yes. So but yeah, really good kit. Just like with Kingston, any other memory, lifetime warranty. You know,
kind of a middle of the road kit, right?
Yeah, it's not their super high performance, but it's still a very good kit. All black PCB with black heat spreader. Looks great.
Yeah, it's really good looking.
Yeah, it's going to look great in pretty much any system with a black heat spreader and all that. That pretty much matches up to anything, unless you have like a white motherboard, which there's like two.
Which there. I think it would still, I mean, it'd be contrast.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not going to be...
it's not red or blue or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So yeah, this is just a good overall kit. There's really not a whole lot you can say about memory because like it works.
Yeah.
And the only thing you really talk about is overclocking and all of that, and this overclocked quite easily.
Plugged in and worked fine, and it overclocked well.
Yes. So, just a good kit. Kingston memory, their HyperX line of memory has always been good. I've never really had an issue with any of their memory. I think it's kind of hard to mess up memory, really.
Yeah. People seem to have issues every once in a while, though.
Yeah. But just a great overall kit. Again, available in 8 gig and 16 gig, maybe 32. I think it's only 8 and 16.
I think you got 8 and 16 listed.
Yeah, it's only 8 and 16. Dual channel kits. So that will definitely get you through if you have a Z170 board.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely check out the review. And sweet. You can read all about what we thought about it. And then we're moving on to a case, and this is a really cool case. My first time looking at the case is back, I forget, maybe it was October, or maybe like, I don't know when it was, almost a year ago, we took a look at the original NZXT S340, which is a great case in itself, and they just came out with the Razer edition of the case. So if you're familiar with Razer, the gaming brand, they did their first Design by Razer case with NZXT's H440, and they've done it again with the S340. So that brings with it all of the Razer styling to the case. So you have a Razer logo on the front. The USB ports are actually green. The power button is illuminated in green, and they've actually added lights under the case, which wasn't on the original S340, so you have green illumination under the case as well. So if you're a Razer fan, and that's kind of like the thing, which it's for a lot of people, like they have this cult following and all of that. So if you're a Razer fan, or even if you just want a pretty awesome looking case that already has lights built into it, this is an awesome case. So not you, Derek, but the other Derek took a look at the original S340. So I had never taken a look at the case. So this made this kind of interesting. So it wasn't like a rehash of a review. It was a full brand new review. And I really enjoyed the case. Really easy to build in. Not overly large, which I liked. As far as like, there's the one main compartment for your motherboard, graphics card, and two hard drives, and then the bottom compartment has room for two more hard drives in your power supply, and it's all like segmented too, so you have a big cover that covers the entire bottom of the case. Just a good case, easy to build in. The original S340 is around $60 now. This new one is $90 or $100. It's a $99.99, which makes sense. They did add some things that aren't on the original.
Yeah,
and
you're paying for branding though too, I would say.
Yeah, you're paying for the branding. The lights are super cool. You can turn the lights off if you want as well.
That's good.
Yeah, it's just a really good case. I did a pretty clean build inside.
Pretty easily.
Yeah, and I've been doing all the new case builds with a AIO, 240 millimeter AIO, and that just, you would think that would make installation a lot harder, but it really hasn't.
Yeah. So many cases are just designed around that concept now.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, I stopped doing case reviews for a while, for about a year, around that time. And in that time, it seems like everybody has, made their cases easier to install, radiators and all that kind of stuff. So it's good to see that. It's good to see that change.
Pushing that in the water-cooled direction.
Yeah, for sure. So this case is just a sleek looking case, no optical drive bays at all.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah.
It's good to see that. It gives it a sleek look, so the entire front of the case is completely clean. The only thing on it is that Razer logo. It's just a good case. And again, building inside of it was extremely easy. I remember doing case reviews years ago and getting a build and then getting it to be all nice and clean inside and all that was just a pain in the ass. And with these cases, especially the last few that I've taken a look at, every build has come out really well and not a lot of issues at all. So it looks like all of these case companies are really, looking to their users and getting feedback and finding what the best way to put a case together for not only that looks good, but is easy to build,
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
To me, this looks like it's just like you know what you want, and you don't want the extra space of options and stuff. You just get it, put it in it, and it looks good. No, nothing extra to clutter up the space.
Yeah, totally. So definitely a good case. And even if you don't want the Razer edition, the original S340, again, I think it's around $60 or $70, which for a mid tower isn't bad at all.
No.
So yeah, definitely check out our review of the Razer edition. And we actually linked to our original review of the S340 as well. So definitely take a look at that. So
for sure,
we will move on to Case Mod Friday, which is one of my favorite articles of the week. So every Friday, we feature a case mod or a build that's been completed in the community. And I'm pretty sure you wouldn't like this build, just because I know you. But I think this build is really cool because it's a lot of water cooling in an extremely small space.
I'm stunned.
Why are you stunned?
Why wouldn't I like it?
I don't know. I don't think you would like it.
Okay, well, I don't really like it.
See, exactly. But this is a pretty cool mod. So this is called Toxic Chrome, and it's a sort of a Corsair themed mod, but an old school Corsair logo themed mod, which I like. But it's done in Corsair's 250D, which is extremely small case. And what I just said, what I liked about it is there's a lot of water cooling going on in an extremely small space. I like that. I think that's really cool. If you look at some of the photos there, the above shots showing all the water cooling that's done in the case, it's just awesome, I think.
It's quite utilizing space to its fullest extent, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I really like that. The only thing that I wish I would have seen in this is that he used just regular... he didn't use any like colored coolant. I think that would have really set it off.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Well, I don't know what color he would have gone with though.
Blue,
maybe a silver, but
or silver or blue. But that's the only thing that I feel is missing from this. But it's a really cool build in such a small case. He cut windows in the case so you can kind of see everything. Obviously, custom water cooling loop. You know, which is crazy to see in such a small case.
It did a really good job.
The front, he has the old school Corsair logo on there, which I think is awesome. It's just a really, really... And he completely modded the case so he could fit everything inside, but didn't make the case actually bigger, which is kind of cool. So he cut the inside of the case kind of up so he could fit everything inside that he wanted to fit. Completely painted the case so it has that old school blue and silver Corsair, you know, kind of design on there. Really, really well done.
So what does he have for... Does he have for radiators? What does he have? I'm trying to...
Radiators. Alpha Cool Nexus Full Copper 240mm, and then Alpha Cool Nexus Full Copper UT60 140mm.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got a couple. I was like... I thought he was running the whole thing off the one...
No, he has...
140. I was like, that's cutting it pretty close.
Yeah, he has two in there. That's the first time I've really seen the OC Cool radiators, and they're pretty cool looking.
The Alpha Cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably my favorite radiators on the market.
Yeah, so it's pretty just a pretty cool build. Yeah, I really like it. I just like it's good to see people when they have such a small case be able to do so much because you know, we're used to these builds that we see all of the time. In these massive cases, you know, the like 800Ds and all of that, where there's a ton of room and there's a ton of water cooling, and it's just
making
like,
it easy on themselves.
Yeah, and like these smaller cases, while they're not, they don't, you know, because they're so small, it's hard to kind of get everything in the picture and all of that. But I think it's quite a feat to be able to do this in such a small case.
I bet he was like pulling his hair out trying to get his tubing bends right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, he did the rigid tubing, which is extremely popular. And all of that. So yeah, it's just a great build. Definitely check it out. Tons of photos on the post. We list everything that he used and all of the custom mods and everything that has been done inside of the case. So definitely check that out. And if you're into case mods, we have a full section, full Case Mod Friday section, so you can get some inspiration or you can see what's possible, or if you just want to take a look at a ton of mods. We have a whole lot in there.
We've been doing this for a little while.
Yes, just a little bit. So we have a lot in there. So definitely go ahead and check that out. So now it is on to news. And I guess the biggest story of the week, which we had talked about a few weeks ago, and we weren't sure what this graphics card was going to be called or what it may be, but NVIDIA released a new GeForce GTX 980 for notebooks. They had the 980M, which had been out for a while, but that only featured 1,536 of the 2,048 CUDA cores. So it was like sort of a cut-down version made for mobile, which is normal. That's the normal thing we see. But they've gone ahead and released a new reference board that is a full GTX 980 for notebooks. And they're just calling it the GeForce GTX 980 for notebooks, from what we know. Smart. Yeah, so it's not the 980M, which is, I think that might be a little bit confusing. For some people,
I think to the average consumer, they're going to not know what they're buying.
Yeah, but I don't think it necessarily matters either, right? Yeah. Because those people are just like, I want the fastest, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're just going to go to the store and buy whatever's there, anyways.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So the reference board will feature 4 to 8 phase VRM and 4 to 8 gigabytes of memory on the card itself. It's going to be clocked very close to the desktop version, which is awesome. And you should be able to get some overclocking out of it as well.
Up to 1400.
Yes. And there'll be fan controls and all of that. And clock speed will adjust with the fan curve, which is pretty cool. But it's good to see this. It's good to, you know, have that much power in a notebook. And there's already been notebooks released with this in it this week.
Nice. I assume all the big names, MSI, Alienware.
Yeah, they're all going to come out with this. So it's good to see. It's, you know, it's crazy because if you think about it, NVIDIA doesn't need to do this. You know what I mean? Like,
not really.
They really don't. But it's just great to see. Great to see more and more power come to mobile as well. Yeah. Go ahead.
My thought is that they almost should have waited though, because this is, there's no way this isn't hot.
Yeah, well, the thing about this card is this is going to be made for those big desktop replacements.
Yeah.
It's not going to be made for that, you know, the smaller...
No, of course not.
Yeah.
I just wish if they would have waited till the next generation, you would think, because it should run with high bandwidth memory. Unless this is just a test for that. I don't know.
No, it's just...
For building up a smaller board, but...
I think they wanted to do it, and a couple of the they showed NVIDIA had an event for this release, and they actually showed some laptops that were like water cooled laptops and some other cool stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like again, this is going to be for those bigger desktop replacements, the 17-inch laptops, the big Alienware
Asus.
Yeah, like the I forget the
oh
the Alienware 17-inch that just came out. That will be in their newer version, I would assume. You know, those big desktop replacements, this is going to be what's in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to see. Good to see NVIDIA do it. Again, I don't feel they needed to, but great. Yeah. Definitely great to see that.
Cool to see them playing around, at least.
Yes. So we have some news on Intel. If you're a fan of Xeon processors, if, you know, you do that kind of stuff, you're, you know, into servers, or you're just crazy and you have a Xeon set up at home for whatever reason.
Heavy encoding.
Yeah, you're crunching numbers and things like that. We got some new information on the upcoming Xeon processors, which will have 28 CPU cores,
which
is insane.
Very impressive. I think this is slightly cooler than the NVIDIA news, personally.
Yes.
28 cores is freaking 28 awesome.
28 cores, and with hyper threading, that means you'll have 56 threads.
56 threads, that's awesome.
Which is a lot of data crunching for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and these will be part of the new Xeon E5 and Xeon E7 range. And these, of course, are for enterprise. You know, so they'll actually come in 2, 4, 8 socket design motherboards for, you know, so imagine having an 8 socket, you know,
56 threads at 8 sockets.
Yeah, so I don't even know what that even is.
You can get some work done, that's for sure.
Yeah. So the update will be Intel has said this is their biggest update to the Xeon line in a long time, and it will have 6-channel DDR4, AVX 512 instruction set, 100 gig Omnipath interconnect as well. So this is like, if you're an enterprise guy, this is exciting stuff.
Seriously.
Very, very exciting stuff for enterprise. You know,
good jump for servers.
Yeah, so if you're a server person, I would think you'd be pretty pumped about this. You'll be upgrading to this. You know. So yeah, definitely some cool stuff. Just to think about 56 threads. I mean, you know, I have some high-end desktop processors here, and that's a lot of horsepower. And just having, you know, 56 threads is just like insane for normal desktop use. Like,
to answer the question, yes, it can run Crysis.
Yes. you know, it's just, it's a lot of power there. So it's really cool to see. And it's good to see Intel. I mean, obviously, this is a huge part of their business, is the Xeon line.
Yeah.
So it's good to see them, you know, keep on improving, you know, on the enterprise side as well.
I feel like this is like one of the more astounding releases from them in a good long while, you know.
Especially on the enterprise side, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Like they're taking such small steps forward because they don't have to, you know, go any bigger with the differences between launches, you know, the chips aren't improved that greatly lately, it seems.
Yeah.
But like, this is a nice good jump.
Oh yeah, for sure. So good to see that from Intel. And again, I'm sure if you're a server guy, you're super pumped about it.
Yeah.
So we will move on to a really big news in the SSD market. Samsung, which I assume they're number one in the SSD market. We don't really you don't really see it that much because they're not really like an enthusiast brand, but so many people use Samsung SSDs. They're in a lot of products. They just announced this week their 950 Pro, which is a M.2 PCI Express SSD. It's for consumer market, so that means us.
For sure.
And this is a very awesome SSD. So it's M.2. So all of the new Z170 boards, and of course, all, you know, a lot of the other boards will support it, and a lot of different products will support it as well. That have that PCI Express M.2 slot. When it comes to speeds, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
So 512 gigabyte version, read and write speeds up to 2500 megabytes a second read and 1500 megabytes a second write.
Jeez.
Pretty fast.
So 5 times faster than standard solid state drives.
Yes. And what's great about this is, again, it's M.2. It's on a PCI Express card, so you don't really have to worry about that. These are fast. And seriously fast. Again, if you have a Z170 board with a couple, you know, Ultra M.2 slots, it's going to be very fast.
Throw a pair of 512s and right on there.
And price. The 256 gig is $200. The
512.
I'm like, look at the 512 is $349.99,
which is
nothing.
Not bad.
Yeah. So again, we've been talking about on the podcast a lot is that these SSDs are going to be coming out higher capacities, lower cost. You know. If you're a storage guy, you're super pumped about this drive. This is going to be the standard going forward, I think, a lot of this, you know.
Do you think, like, M.2 will completely replace, like, SATA?
No, because we have SATA Express, which isn't used as much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a – I think right now it's sort of like a – not a war, but, like, you know, there's a couple different things out there right now. Obviously M.2, which can be used as SATA or PCI Express, or NVMe, and we have, you know, we have SATA Express as well. I think the big thing is what's going to be on the boards, because that's what, you know, so right now on most boards, the two big ones we have are PCI Express M.2 and SATA Express. you know, which I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see both because it just makes sense to have both.
Yeah.
Because SATA Express ports are backwards compatible with normal SATA.
Yeah.
But I think the M.2, the PCI Express M.2s are more popular. It makes more sense. I mean, if you think about it, you don't even have to connect a drive.
You know, there's no wires, there's nothing.
Yeah, so that's what makes them very popular, especially for small builds. You know, if you're looking at a mini ITX board, you know, a small, super small case, and you don't want to, you know, have a couple drives, you can, you know, just put a M.2 on there and you're good to go.
And you get the incredible speeds.
Yes. Very, very fast speeds. So I'm pretty pumped about this. I would love to have a few of these for sure. So definitely, definitely very, very cool week if you're a storage person. For sure.
Definitely.
Yes. So we'll talk about some gaming products. And this product is one that I saw firsthand at CES. Mad Catz has finally shipped their Rat Pro X gaming mouse. And this mouse, I would say, go back to our CES coverage and just check out this mouse. Because I can't even explain how much stuff is on this mouse. It's just out of control. And I think that what's one thing is if you have ever used a Mad Catz Rat mouse, which I had one for a very long time. I still have it. I just don't use it. I don't even know why I don't use it. It's such a good mouse. It's just designed perfectly for gaming. And this one has so many different options. You can adjust things. You can do all this stuff. So if you're a serious gamer, this is definitely a mouse to check out. You know,
basically build this thing from the ground up, right?
Yeah, and there's so many different components. You could buy different components. You can add components. You can actually change the sensors. So, you know, when you buy a mouse, you get it has an optical sensor, laser sensor, whatever it is, you're set. That's what you have. Mm-hmm. This, you can change the sensors. You can change weights. You can change the different, all different kinds. I can't even go into it. I should have put the video actually in the post. Because there's so much that goes into this. You can change the wheel. You know, you can buy different wheels. You can buy different buttons. You can buy, you know, it's just, it's out of control.
Yeah.
It is, you know, Mad Catz doesn't have to do this type of stuff. But I think they're giving the option to the gamer to really customize their mouse. And there's not many companies that do that.
No.
They give you really full customization. Like, every part of this mouse comes apart, and you can get different parts.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
And it really kind of creates a new section of, like, I mean, we're used to doing this sort of thing with, like, our computer, like, the hardware inside the box, right? It kind of takes that concept to your peripherals.
Yeah, it really does. And, again, Mad Catz might not be a company you think about when it comes to pro gaming things because they're not, they don't have a whole lot of PC related products in that realm. But again, if you've ever used a Rat mouse, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the best mice ever made, I think. Just really, really well made. And this mouse follows that exact same thing. And it's fully customizable, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
It's an amazing mouse, and you can change it completely.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. I'm not sure on the price.
$200.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but...
Nope.
But yeah, when you buy it, you actually can select between three sensors. Two laser sensors and an optical sensor. And nice. They're currently out of stock, so...
Yeah, so they sold them off.
Yeah, so it is, like I said, it is an amazing mouse. I would love to take a look at one and play with one. It's really cool. Actually, I'm looking at the product page. They actually have information on each one of the sensors, so you know which kind of what they're used for and all that kind of stuff. It's actually really cool.
It's a pretty in-depth page, actually, to be honest. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, it shows you everything, all the different parts, and it shows you an exploded view of the mouse completely taken apart and all that kind of stuff. It is just, you know.
Check out their page if you really want to.
Yeah, if you want a lot more information on it, we have linked to the product page on our post, and definitely check it out.
That'd be a sweet mouse to get.
Yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff in there. And again, you know, this at $200 is a lot for a mouse, But if you're serious about gaming, you're serious about customization, this would be the mouse to get.
Yeah. It's just like a supercar.
Yes.
The mouse world.
Yes. So we'll move on from that to cases. Lee and Lee announced another case. It seems like every week.
They're on. For being quiet for so long, they're like.
Yeah, I think it hard. Holiday season's coming up, so they're releasing a new case, new cases. Yeah. So, this one is the PCQ10WX, which is a mini ITX case. Another small case. It has a. The one side panel is all glass, which I love to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice little mini ITX case. You know?
Yeah, it's
kind of like not completely cube style, but sort of cube style.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. I mean, it's like kind of like most other land lead cases. It's kind of plain, but it's very. I don't know. I'm sure it's got a design name that they would use for it. It's just very sleek.
Yeah, it's very sleek. Nice looking case. If you want to build a mini ITX system, this is another great one to consider. It looks like. Inside, you have room, obviously, for a dual-slot graphics card. You have room for at least a couple hard drives in there. No optical drive, which, who uses those?
Yeah.
You know?
Up to 240mm radiator.
And it looks like it fits a full-size ATX power supply.
Yes, it does.
So, you have all of that in there. So, you can build a nice little LAN rig. And, again, the side panel is all glass, so you can show off what you have inside.
Get your water cooling on point and your lighting and show it off.
Yeah, it's a nice little case. Don't know price. $119.
Yep.
And it'll be available early September, so it should be available.
Yes.
So yeah, very cool looking case. Definitely if you're, you know, it looks like I said, it seems like we've had like 3 or 4 Lee and Lee releases in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, almost. I don't know for sure, but it seems like it, because we had the custom case, which is like the really really small one, right?
Yeah. And then we had the ROG case.
Yep.
And we
now you got this.
Yeah.
This one. It seems like there was another small one like this one, or maybe I'm just remembering.
That's the ROG case.
Okay. Okay.
The ROG case is a little different, but it's close to the same.
Gotcha.
So.
Good job, Lan Lee.
Talk about some drama.
Oh, man.
Not really drama. But so we covered it way back in 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Aztec.
I think I reviewed this. I did.
Yeah. Aztec has been suing Cooler Master over patent infringement on their all-in-one liquid cooling, which.
It's a 240M, I think, right?
I believe that was it. Aztec has been, you know, has put a lawsuit out against Cooler Master for patent infringement on their water cooling products, and that has been going on for a while. And so in 2014 Aztec won the patent infringement case, and it awarded damages of 14.5% royalty rate on Cooler Master products. So if they sold something, 14.5% of it went to Aztec because they used their technology.
Yeah, the court ruled that they copied their pump design, I believe, right?
Yes. So,
Sounds like Cooler Master.
Yeah, Cooler Master
pushed for a new trial.
Yeah, Cooler Master tried to push for a new trial and change everything, and now they even they denied that, and they said, Cooler Master, now you're going to pay 25.375%, and and that starts from sales of infringing products from January 1st, 2015.
So they're making up for the time loss with that.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be an injunction, so they're not going to be able to sell any of the products now.
I think they pulled it, though, if I remember correctly. They pulled those 240Ms, like, pretty much right away. Right when we got our review product, I think.
It was, like, right after we did the review.
Right after the review, yeah, because I was like, oh, great, this isn't going to be worth anything anymore.
Yeah.
But it was a good cooler, to be honest.
Yeah.
It performed really well.
Yeah, so it's quite an interesting thing that goes on, and we see this a lot, especially in the water cooling world, I think, because Aztec leases, you know, a lot of their products. We see a lot of the ones like from Thermaltake and a lot of other companies use Aztec, and I guess Cooler Master was like, well, we're just going to copy what you have.
Yeah.
And
well, it is tricky because it's like pump design is just you can only do so much, you know?
Yeah, and it's and if somebody already owns the patent, which Aztec does, you know, they want that royalty or the licensing fee.
Yeah. It's the trick is that it comes down to not just like the look of the design or whatever. It has to do with the way it functions too. So like I wouldn't want to be in competition with them because they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's what's hard to do. And like, I guess I'm trying to think because like again, this all happened in 2014, but
yeah.
It definitely was the pump design, you know, that was copied and all of that. I'm pretty sure whoever made that decision at Cooler Master has since been fired. But Cooler Master is definitely still paying for it, and they. Seems like they pissed off the judge by trying to appeal it.
Yeah.
So
it must have been like a really firm ruling, and they shouldn't have even appealed it.
Yeah. So they even increased the damages. The royalty rate is moved up, and I was reading the other day that there might even be an injunction against any Cooler Master cooling products, but we're not sure yet.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Yeah. So.
That would actually explain. We were wondering the other day why we haven't seen anything from Cooler Master recently.
Yeah, they did a lot of work on the their new case, Master 5 case, which was a big deal. They took some time off too because when we talked to them at CES, they're like, "We have no new products. We're really." I think they were trying to reaffirm their different product lines, which makes a lot of sense because I think they were all over the place.
Yeah,
You know, kind of really. All really different types organized. Of yeah, just not organized, and they took a lot of time, and I think with this the new Master Case 5, and they're gonna have some other stuff coming out that you'll know what products are what and what they're gonna do and all that kind of stuff, and I think you know they kind of needed to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but good for Aztec. And,
yeah, I mean, what's right is right, I guess.
Yeah. So.
It is too bad, though, because, well, you don't want to see anybody copy anybody straight up. We see a lot of lawsuits in this industry, and some of them are just, it kind of limits competition to a certain extent, you feel? That's how I feel.
Yeah, so, but I mean, that's why they have the licensing. I mean, it's not like Aztec is like, we own the patent, royally making this. They license it out, you know.
That's true.
A lot of the original Corsair ones were licensed. You know,
definitely.
And the Thermaltake ones are licensed from Aztec. A lot of them are, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just.
Oh
how
yeah,
it
we
works.
Did. Well, we did the Aztec review, and there was a ton of them.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's kind of how it works. If you own the patent, you have the ability to do that.
Yep.
And
they put the money into the research and development for sure.
Yeah. Totally. So. So yeah. Interesting things going on. Kind of sad for Cooler Master, but what are you going to do?
They'll bounce back, I'm sure.
Yes. So we talked about it in the beginning of the podcast, but now on to some gaming news. Epic Games released a pre-alpha season trailer for Unreal Tournament, which if you haven't been playing or haven't seen the pre-alpha, it's a lot of fun. You back to the old days. The game plays just like the older Unreal tournaments, which is a lot of fun. I was actually playing it, like I said, last night. Free to play. The game will be completely free to play, even though it's in pre-alpha right now. The game's going to be completely free to play.
Nice.
And the newer builds, the game looks so much better than the really early builds that we had been playing for a while. Check out the trailer.
You haven't played it in a while. I should definitely get on.
Yeah, it looks so much better. The mechanics are better. There's some pretty cool custom servers out there. I've been playing a lot of Low Grav Instagib CTF, which is my favorite game mode of the game.
Like floating around.
It's awesome. I'm quite good at it too.
That's why you play it.
Well, I mean, it's just like that's the mode that I grew up playing.
Okay.
low grav instagib CTF is just so much fun. The maps, there's a lot of custom maps already out there that are specifically made for that mode. And that's just like brings back memories, because that's like I played that constantly.
Yeah.
That mode constantly. And it's just so much fun because, like, you know, when it's low, you know, one shot kill, you're floating around, you're trying to cap the flag, and you're trying to stop it. And it's just like, it's so intense. I really love it.
Nice.
So yeah, definitely check it out. We'll be doing a lot of streaming of that game over the next I don't know, however long. Like I said, I just got Twitch set up for Think Computers, so we'll be doing a lot of streaming on there. You know, jump in, play with us, watch me get killed, all that kind of fun stuff. I guess I should give you access to the Twitch too.
Yeah.
So you can stream whenever you want. I'll have to show you how to set that all up. But yeah, sure. It's very easy these days. I remember when Twitch first came out, it wasn't so easy to stream. but you know, now that it's a huge deal, like, and
that's like the story of the whole computer gaming scene, though. Like, it was so much harder to do everything.
Yeah.
Even like 5 years ago, there was a lot more work involved.
Yeah. Now you don't even have like, so XSplit you have to buy, or you know, whatever. With this, they have a new open source broadcaster, which works amazing.
For free.
Yeah, and then I got this really... So I was like, I had wanted to stream, and that's why I bought this webcam, because the webcam I used to have, I think I threw against the wall one day or something. And somebody outside my house is beeping. I don't know if you guys can hear that. anyways, so I there's a really... Somebody on Reddit has a full... they just shared a Google Doc on how to get streaming set up and how to set everything up. And I just followed that. It took me maybe like a half an hour to get everything done. They show you how in Photoshop how to make different screens. So like you can have like borders and cool things around, you know, and you can have like all that. It's really well done. I forget who on Reddit did that. Whoever you are, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And they have video tutorials and everything, how to get everything set up.
You should build a how-to.
Yes. Probably should do that.
Yeah,
but
making more work for Bob here.
I know, but whoever made that, really awesome. I appreciate it. So yeah, we do a lot of streaming. But Unreal Tournament, if you're a fan of any Unreal Tournament game, definitely check it out. There's no reason you shouldn't, because it's free.
Yeah,
and free to play, definitely worth checking out. And there's gonna be a lot more people playing it as it gets closer and closer to whenever they're gonna release it. And it's always being worked on too, which is great. So. Yeah. And our final piece of gaming news is that we know the exact dates for Star Wars Battlefront Beta.
Ooh.
It will run from October 8th to October 12th, and that will be on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Nice.
And
we'll is no need to register for the beta.
Yeah, I don't think there is.
Nope, so it'll be open.
Yeah, it's open beta. Okay. Pretty pumped. I would assume the way it's going to work is if you just log into Origin, it should just be on there.
Yeah, you go to the free page, and it's supposed to be in there, I believe.
Yeah, so, and you should be able to preload. Eventually. I assume they'll open.
Not yet, but once it's there, yeah.
Probably a couple days before. Maybe even October 1st. If we have that news, we'll definitely get it to you.
Yeah.
So you guys can get this preloaded. I will be preloading.
Get on it.
I will be streaming this. I will be playing it.
Is October 8th? What day is that?
I don't know.
It's a Thursday.
I will be streaming on Thursday.
Okay. Thursday. I should take work off just so I can play.
Yeah, jump in game. I believe co-op will be available on the beta, so we can play together.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of fun.
Yeah, ABA in Drop Zone?
Yeah. Oh, those are matches.
Oh, no. There's a... Walker Assault will have 40 player.
But I think there's a survival co-op. Yeah, survival co-op. So that'll be yeah. So we should get some co-op going.
Yeah.
Do some fun stuff.
Which should be similar to like the zombie modes.
Yeah.
In other games.
Yeah. So pretty pumped for this game. Probably right now the game I'm most excited about.
Yeah. Hands
I'm not
down.
Really excited about Fallout.
Nah. I've actually never played Fallout.
I played it a little bit, and it just wasn't my thing.
No. It's like, I get intimidated by games that you know are going to take like 400 hours to complete.
Yeah. I don't have that type of time.
Yeah. In fact, even when I had that kind of time, it was like, I just don't know if I can stick it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll keep my attention. I don't know if I want to get involved. So I just didn't.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll definitely be streaming and definitely get in on the beta. What's great about the beta of all these games is that you can play the game before it comes out. So, you know, a lot of times you're not really sure if you want to buy a game. With this, you can play it. You can see how it plays. You can see if you're going to, you know, you might play it for an hour and be done. Yeah. So why waste the money?
You know, like a lot of people use that excuse for like pirating games, right? Like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like it, so I'll just pirate it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend the money, which is completely understandable, because some games are garbage, and you don't want to pay $60 for that.
Yeah.
But this is, we're seeing a lot of open beta stuff.
Yeah, I think it's
a really good way to try them out.
I think that it matters so much that the players like the game. So if there's an issue in the game or something that people don't like, the beta gives them the ability to complain and fix things, you know. I mean, look what happened with Batman, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't
believe... Did they ever relaunch that?
Not yet.
Oh my gosh.
Was there a beta for that? I don't believe.
I don't think so. Not heavily advertised.
Yeah, if there wasn't a massive beta, you know, we wouldn't, you know, if there was one, maybe they would have caught those issues and fixed them.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm sure they would have at least heard about it.
Yeah, and the thing is that I don't think there was a big open beta, and there might have been one on Xbox and PS4, but, you know, the big issues on that game were the PC release.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So
it's like the flop of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was.
So far.
And that's the big thing with this, is that they're doing the beta on all platforms, free to anybody. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to buy another game to get into the beta or anything like that. So everybody's going to be playing it. It's going to give them not only a way to test the game, but test the servers and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty pumped for it.
And they're doing all that even though it's built on Battlefield 4, you know? Like... Yeah. They're still doing all this testing, so they're really putting a lot of work into this.
Yeah, and I
a
think
lot
it's
of the just, right steps.
And I think the beta just gets people pumped about the game. I mean, there's a lot of betas that I played that I wouldn't even consider buying the game, and then I play it, I'm like, wow, I'm going to actually buy this game.
Yeah.
Because
you know what it's about.
Yeah, totally. So definitely pumped, and again, we'll be streaming, I guess. And definitely we'll let you know our origin IDs so you can jump in a game and play with us and maybe kill us and, you know, have fun.
Oh, very likely kill us.
Yes. So, yeah. But that is the news for the week. Not a whole lot of news this week, but definitely some interesting gaming stuff.
Some cool stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Quality, not quantity.
Yes. So we'll move on to next week. The one product that I can tell you about. That we'll be taking a look at is the Vantech Nexstar 3.1, which is a 2.5-inch USB 3.1 hard drive enclosure. I wanted to get it done this week. It just didn't happen. So it is just a 2.5-inch enclosure that uses USB 3.1. Very simple device. Vantech has been around forever. Their Nexstar series has been around literally forever. So I'll definitely be checking a look at that. Obviously, we'll be testing it on Z170 that has a native USB 3.1. So,
awesome.
Pretty pumped about that. And then next week, we have a new case, a very interesting case, which I can't tell you about because it's under embargo till the 1st. So next Thursday, you'll see a brand new case that is not out. And we also have a new power supply that comes out on Tuesday, which, again, I can't tell you about. But we will have those things coming next week. So some new products coming out next week, so definitely stay tuned for that. And next week is the end of the month, which means we will have our worst PC setups article, which is a lot of fun.
For sure.
So we'll see some
pretty... Something to look forward to every month.
Yes, some pretty bad setups in there.
It's always the little boost at the end of the month to make me feel good about myself.
Yes, for sure. So did you do anything this week that was fun?
Of course. I won a bike race.
You won?
I won a bike race on Sunday.
What did you win?
Nothing.
Well, that's
but I won.
That's good.
Yeah. I saw the new Maze Runner movie.
Is that good? I it actually got tickets to
effing
that.
Horrible.
Really? I enjoyed the first one.
I liked the first one, so I went and I read all the books.
Okay.
And this was absolute garbage. And even as a movie, I felt it was, I did honestly, like a 1 or a 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Aside from books aside, it was not even a good movie.
Wow. Yes.
If you got free tickets, I'd go see it just because it's free.
Yeah, I got free tickets that I haven't used yet.
I wouldn't pay a dime though.
You know what movie I want to see is Black Mass.
Yeah. That's just not my. I've heard it was really good, but those aren't usually my type of movies.
It's based on a true story.
I don't know. You like that mobster thing.
Yeah, I know. There's a documentary on the whole Whitey Bulger thing on Netflix.
I think you talked about that.
Yeah, which I watched, which was quite an interesting story, and because I didn't know the backstory, and that gives you the entire backstory. It's very, very interesting. But yeah, it's kind of bummed out that movie's not that good, because I enjoyed the original.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking.
That happens a lot, though.
It's crazy, dude, and like okay, so it's not even the script is not even close to the book, so okay, whatever, but like the cinematography and the story writing is just it's not good. The acting I wouldn't even say was great.
Wow.
So yeah, sorry to them, but I was.
What if I go see it? I'm like, it's the most amazing movie I've ever seen.
Then I think you have no idea what you're talking about.
you and I have similar tastes, so I would agree with you probably.
Like I said though, like if I didn't have to pay for it, I would still go see it just because.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'll still watch bad movies when they come on like Blu-ray, right? Like even though I know they're not going to be great, just to see them sometime. Yeah. So.
Totally. All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this week. As always, we will have a full page of show notes. Everything that we talked about, it will be linked, so you can go ahead and check it out. What's it called? On iTunes, you can find us by just searching Think Computers, all one word. We will definitely show up. It would be great if you guys could leave us a review on iTunes. And if there is the possibility to do that on Android, I would assume there is. We have on the show notes page, we have links to both our iTunes and Android, as well as the RSS feed for the podcast. So if you use something weird, like maybe Windows Phone, you can still subscribe using the RSS feed as well. We have all of our podcasts listed there, so if you want to go back and check out how horrible we were on the first podcast and all of that. Also, you have the ability to leave comments on each podcast on the website. So if you don't like something, you want us to talk about something different, you can go ahead and do that as well. You know, just give you a lot of time for feedback. You can also email us, hit us up on Facebook, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff's on the site. Twitter, everything is all on there. So if you want to leave us some feedback, we would definitely appreciate it. But I guess until next week, we will catch everybody later.